Welcome to Beyond the Ballot. I'm Max, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Rory. And today, we're doing something a little different. Firstly, we're going to be looking at what's happened in the news, and then we're going to be moving on to analysing each party's takes on certain departments and which ones we most align with. So let's start with the breaking news from this week. Firstly, Rory, hello, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm glad to be here again.
And we're going to be talking about the latest revelations involving Peter Mandelson in the Epstein files, which has ultimately led to Morgan McSweeney resigning as Keir Starmer's chief of staff, as he takes full responsibility for this appointment. Rory, did you see this outcome coming?
Well, I knew that it was either going to be, it was probably going to be Morgan McSweeney. He's the fall guy. He's taken the hit for Keir. But after seeing what Anas Sarwar has said this afternoon, I don't think. It's probably failed. I mean, most of the things he does fails. So, yeah, I did see this coming, to be honest.
Yeah, because I feel like he's had like a good track record, hasn't he? He's quite very strategic with, obviously, his electoral strategy. He obviously got Labour the landslide victory in 2024 over the Conservatives. And this is not the first time we've seen Keir Starmer's chief of staff resign.
No, well, like, Sue Gray went in, October, November
2024? 2024, yeah. So maybe omens for Keir Starmer, maybe he shouldn't be shifting the blame, perhaps, onto his party's MPs and instead shoulder the blame himself.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, what's his name? Morgan McSweeney he was the one who was not lobbying, but he was very encouraging of appointing Mandelson, which I must say, if he was very determined, I think he's probably, I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist, but I think he should have definitely looked at the vetting process, and I think they should have taken it much more seriously, because clearly they've not done it as seriously as they needed to. And I think that's a failure from a lot of people, not just Morgan McSweeney.
Yeah. And obviously, for those who don't know who are listening now, Keir Starmer, as we're recording, will be probably be meeting a large majority of very angry MPs right now about obviously appointing Mandelson as their US ambassador, especially after his track record and relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Well, do you think the MPs are right to be angry?
Well, I mean, I don't know who wouldn't be angry. I think it's shocking. Also, the fact that we knew this was happening and the fact that all these files had been released just leading up to September and he was still in and he hadn't been kicked out until September, I think it shows the incompetency of this government. And I mean, there hasn't been I don't think there's been a replacement for him yet, but as ambassador to the US. But I think, I think they do have a reason, obviously. I think a lot of people should be very angry, not just at Morgan McSweeney, but the Prime Minister as well, if they weren't already, including Labour MPs.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the other parties are going to really be able to capitalise off this. I mean, Cammie Badenoch's already starting to increase the pressure and placing more on Keir Starmer, and obviously Labour are dropping the polls, and obviously the government is getting even more criticised. I feel like there will probably be a leadership challenge soon.
Yeah.
Perhaps from maybe Angela Rayner or
Wes Streetings.
Maybe. Yeah. Or if Andy Burnham is allowed to...
He won't be allowed. It's just... but he won't be able to get in. I don't know. Maybe Clive Lewis will... He'll do what he said he would do. I can't remember, a few weeks ago he said that he would resign and he would let Andy Burnham take his seat. And if there's a crisis in Labour and there's no real unified kind of candidate that most people support, then maybe they'll be so desperate as to call a by-election and have to bring in Burnham.
I mean, and even at the weekend, I mean, we saw on, I don't know if you watched Laura Coon's show on Sunday, but Pat McFadden himself said that there would be no reason at all for Keir Starmer to dismiss McSweeney, and obviously that's happened. That's obviously going to make him look bad himself, but to be honest, I don't think Keir Starmer's going to look at this in a good light. So obviously doesn't present Keir Starmer in a particularly good light, and I personally don't think that he's going to last maybe more than a month. I just feel like the UK's population are going to become even more unsettled by this, especially with, you can't you can't be appointing someone as a US ambassador, especially with the US, who is such a large superpower as well. And he's got these connections with Jeffrey Epstein, and obviously condolences have been sent out to the victims, because obviously Jeffrey Epstein's quite a notorious
person. Yeah, well, I think a lot of people know who Jeffrey Epstein is. We don't really have to cover over that.
Yeah, but in terms of the political side of looking at, where does Keir Starmer go now? I mean, he obviously has to look at who he's going to appoint as his chief of staff. I mean, that's obviously quite an important position, don't you think?
It is a very important position. What I would say is I think, luckily for Keir, I don't think he's going to have to choose a new chief of staff anytime soon, because I think the only next step now, and I think that's out of number 10. I don't think he's got, he doesn't have time there. He's going to, if he's not gone by the end of this week, he'll be gone by February 27th, when the Gorton-Denton by-election results come in, and Labour lose that seat. A seat they've held for nearly 100 years, more than 100 years, to either the Greens or to Reform. I don't know, it's looking at the current trajectory, probably the Greens, and I think that will just show how the Labour Party is just being compressed from both sides, from the Greens and from Reform. And I think the way that Keir Starmer is ideologically operated, I think, has just been shockingly terrible. I think he's lost so much support. At the last election, he won 34% of the vote, but in the opinion polls, he had 50% of the vote. So that's half of the country. Now he's on, I think one poll I saw the other day, he's only on 16%. That's a sixth of the country. He's down, he's lost 2/3 of his support. And I think that's since he came to office. And I think that's terrible for him.
Yeah, and I feel like obviously the Greens obviously win that by-election, Keir Starmer might look to not work with Zach Polanski, but...
Well, he won't have to work. I firmly believe that.
You firmly believe he'll be gone.
He'll be gone, because it just shows the direction won't work. You saw Anas Sarwar, the Scottish Labour leader, he wants to be First Minister. He called on the Prime Minister to resign today. The Welsh Labour leader, Eleanor Morgan, she's telling everyone in Wales that don't blame her Welsh government for the mistakes of the national UK government. So I think Labour people aren't defecting, they're just, they've lost faith in Keir. That's a shame for him, but I don't think we should assume that Keir Starmer will be the Prime Minister or the leader of the Labour Party, the National Labour Party, in time for the May local elections.
So if not Keir Starmer, then at the time of the by-election, who do you think would be, the Labour leader by then?
I think maybe Ange, tax evading Ange, or could be Wes. Wes, he's got a few links to Mandelson though, quite firm support for him.
And that will obviously put him in a good light, will it? Especially after the events from this week.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think, it's not good for Keir. He's just losing support everywhere he goes. Who are other people? Ed Miliband, he could come back.
But I don't think
they won't
bring him back.
He lost the 2015 election. He's actually very popular among Labour members and MPs. But he did lose an election, so that's just a proven record that he's maybe not electable.
That great and appealing to
them. No, and his energy policy is quite attackable. Who else we got? Shabana. I quite like Shabana. I actually really like Shabana. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people who like Shabana, not just Labour people. I don't really know why she's in the Labour Party. I think she's a miracle for the Labour Party. I think she's just the type of person that would defect to Reform. But given that she's Home Secretary,
she won't.
Yeah. She's going to change things from the inside. She's not a pressure group type of person, because she's already got the power. So, yeah, but I quite like Shabana. She'd be my pick. I mean, I'm not planning to vote Labour, but the person that I would think I would most consider voting Labour under would be Shabana Mahmood.
So after that first segment, we're going to be now looking at each of the departments. and then analysing which party we think would thrive the most in that section.
Yeah, who we trust the most.
So we're going to start off with education. Rory, take it away.
Yeah, I think quite surprising. I'm going to go with the Lib Dems on this one. I think all these sort of social kind of issues, I think the Lib Dems do pretty well with. I think I wouldn't say it's much more tight than I would have thought, just looking at other parties. But I do like their kind of, not positive per se, but just, I get the vibes from the Lib Dems, quite calm, collected, quite sensible. I feel like I look at them as maybe the kind party. So I think that's definitely what you need in something like education. I like a special mention to... that's Manoora Wilson. She's the spokesperson for the Lib Dems. Laura Trott, Conservative. I think she...
She's
quite quiet. I mean, we don't get a lot of... I didn't really hear as much from her as I would have thought. She's obviously unveiled, with Kemi kind of fronting the policy, but the policy of banning social media for under 16s, obviously a policy that was pushed through by the Australian Labour Party.
Which, if we just address...
That was in December.
...quickly the idea of the banning of social media, just a little detour.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be a good decision.
I think... Yeah, well, considering I'm a person under age of 16, I think I'm much less hostile to the idea of it, as I'd expect many people our age. And that's not just some sort of propaganda thing.
Yeah, but then surely if you're going to make a decision as monumental as that, you want to have someone a bit more confident, a bit more outspoken, maybe?
Well, she's actually a very good speaker. She's just not really pushed through much.
But where's the evidence of her speaking?
Well, when she was chief secretary to the Treasury in the Sunak government, she was very much out there. She was very much Sunak's kind of deputy, even though it was Oliver Dowden. She was kind of another deputy, that word just completely flew out of my mind. So the sort of de facto, there's the word, the de facto... deputy or another deputy to Rishi Sunak, and I quite like her. She's a good speaker, obviously.
So surely, if you're analysing the Sunak government,
we're not really talking about the Sunak government, and she wasn't in that brief during the Sunak government. So how about Max? What do you think?
Well, personally, I feel like I probably agree with you about the Lib Dems. I like Manoora Wilson. She's very spoken, very well. And I feel like the Lib Dems are very good at not galvanising the population. Maybe they're quite good at looking at the social.
Yeah, I look at them as a social party.
As you already mentioned. And the strategies they're probably going to implement are probably not as hardcore, maybe, or radical.
Yeah.
As maybe parties such as Reform or Labour, obviously on different sides of the spectrum. But I don't feel like the education secretary now, Bridget Phillipson, is really doing anything wrong.
Oh yeah. Well, fun fact about me, she's my least favourite cabinet secretary. I do not like Bridget Phillipson.
Okay, go on then. Do you want to explain why?
I just get really bad kind of vibes from her. I think she's quite incompetent. She doesn't really push through anything. All this Grok business, even though it was affecting a lot of young people, that was probably maybe unarguably for the right reasons, probably pushed through by the science and technology secretary, but I think she was quite quiet. Thing she's really been doing, the only project she's been doing is her meal clubs, which I do support, but I don't feel like she's done a lot of fundamental change to the curriculum or the education system itself.
But don't you feel like radical changes to the curriculum? She is changing. She is changing something to do with the GCSE.
Yeah, she's doing... Oh, yeah, she's... Oh, yes, actually, that's a lie. She is doing a few reforms as far as examinations are concerned. I think she's introducing... She's either cutting or introducing some sort of T-levels, which I don't know what they are. But actually, the Conservatives under Michael Gove, when he was Education Secretary...
Yeah.
English schools, which... the UK is the only, maybe Northern Ireland as well, but the UK government have direct control over education in England and Northern Ireland. But English pupils were, I don't know, they were really high in reading and spelling in just general education. And I don't see, I think she got came into an easy department that wasn't, it didn't really face the full effects of the 14 years of the Conservatives and the austerity.
Okay, so we're now moving on to another department, and that is going to be health and social care. Now, this department is focused on improving the NHS,
upkeeping the NHS,
services, social care.
Well, not we're not really public services, but we get the gist. They're part of public services.
And just to put it out there, I feel like Labour aren't doing a great job in term with the health and social care.
Really,
I don't feel like Wes Streeting is doing a massive amount of work in terms of bringing down waiting lists.
Well, I know Keir Starmer likes to say, oh, we chopped the waiting list by 2 million.
He's not chopped anything. He was going on about smashing the gangs when he got appointed, and now he's here to bring in Shabana Mahmood with her radical claims.
Yeah, so wait, are you being a conspiracy theorist saying that all this cuts to the NHS is just not true?
No, I'm not saying that. Okay,
I'm getting some stats up now.
We're going to fact check you.
Bring
this stats up.
Yeah, okay, so I got a stat up here. Max, I don't have a stat specifically about the waiting lists, but I can see where you got that argument from. So A&E hospital admissions, the percent of patients who go in, only 60% of patients who go into A&E, NHS hospitals, see a GP or a doctor within 4 hours.
That is
going up a little bit.
Yeah.
That was, I think, I'm going to guess about 58, just looking at this graph. 58% when Sunak left office. Now I'd say it's probably about 61%. It's not a big, huge difference. It's in the right direction, but it is minuscule considering how...
Yeah. And to be honest, progress, even if it is small, is not enough to keep... a government in power. You have to be making those changes, don't you? I mean, if you think about it, these obviously talking about cutting the waiting list, but how long do you think a GP appointment in the NHS lasts?
What do you mean lasts?
How long do you think an appointment lasts with a doctor in the NHS?
I'm gonna go with, well, my grandpa's a doctor, so I'd say his appointments take about an hour and a half. But I don't know if that'll be as long.
Well, the average consultation is 10 minutes.
Oh.
So in terms of forming connections with patients and getting to know them more, that's not exactly very helpful.
No.
And especially all these people on waiting lists for very serious medical problems.
Yeah.
Obviously needing different transplants, and obviously we can't get the correct medical insight and help to them if the waiting list is so long. Wes Streeting's talking about obviously training more doctors, but you're going to have to be paying for more training to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think Labour completely overtalk how good they're doing in the health department. Obviously, I haven't actually seen a lot of health. This is one of those things that I think Labour, I thought were doing quite well, and that's strangely kind of gone under the radar because the media likes to talk about how badly everything's going. So we hear your anger, not anger, but opposition to Wes Streeting and Labour in health and social care. But what party would you put forward?
Okay, I would put forward either the Conservatives or the Liberal Democrats.
Really?
I feel like the Liberal Democrats.
I would say the Liberal Democrats.
Maybe. But I also think with the Conservatives, there is a track record of being able to help the country through torrid times.
That is a very... torrid times. Well, yeah, that's quite an understandable claim. That is a very out there claim, put it that way.
In COVID, as you obviously... Okay, let's not talk about Matt Hancock in terms of...
Yeah, we don't need to talk about Matt Hancock.
They managed it very well, especially on, I'd say, not on a leadership level, not with Boris Johnson's Partygate scandals, but in terms of rolling out the vaccination, one of the quickest in Europe to be able to do that.
Mm.
And I think they just handled it really well. I think... Mm. Jeremy Hunt, maybe. I mean, he is experienced at being held. He's had lots of cabinet jobs before.
Yeah.
I think he probably knows what he's doing. And he's got a deep knowledge of the healthcare system.
Mm.
And he understands reforms.
Yeah.
And the strains on funding. He'd be able to associate with the working class? Mm. Well, I say, Joe, what do I do?
I think probably the Lib Dems, again. I think they're quite the social party. But I found your opinion on the Tories, I think that, I didn't really think about that, and that was a quite interesting, quite compelling. So the Lib Dem, I feel like also we have to look on Wikipedia for the Lib Dems, because they're really, they don't really talk about anything. They're quite a very, considering they've got 72 MPs.
Conservative party,
well, well.
Not what in terms of.
Well, no, well, yeah. Considering they've only got 72 MPs, not only, but they have that much, they're very quiet about a lot of these things. Ed Davey, he sees health as being a very...
It's a priority.
It's really, a priority. Yeah. That's mainly his probably top department. I'd say for the Tories, probably the Treasury is their main department, maybe the Home Office as well, but I think they're trying to maybe shift away from that a little bit. Reform is clearly immigration in the Home Office. Labour, I don't really know. They don't really have anything to promote.
There's no plan anymore.
Well, no, there isn't. I think everything's just failing under them, and that's really disappointing. That's really sad. So with my research, I found Helen Morgan, MP for North Shropshire. She won a by-election, actually. She's the party spokesperson. I don't actually think I've ever heard her voice, so that's quite disappointing. But I know Ed Davey, he's very keen... Or Sir Ed Davey, he's very keen, rightly so, for the NHS. I think he has a lot of personal experience as well, his family. They're quite... I think he's just got a lot of... Not ties to the NHS, but I think he speaks from a very valid and respectable position on that.
And linking back to stuff about Helen Morgan, apparently she secured 52 new beds for local hospitals, funding for step-free access at Whitchurch Station, and the reopening of the Oswetry to Gob Owen railway line.
So she's obviously making a difference on a local level. I mean, that's probably, to be honest, that's probably a more positive difference than the Labour government is making.
Yes.
So well done to Helen Morgan.
We're now moving on to our next segment, and now we're looking at the environment, food and rural affairs, as well as energy and net zero. Well, on a baseline level, one would think that the green parties are the party to support, because that is obviously in the name. But now that they're shifting away from this narrative of only being about the environment, I feel like there is an incentive for maybe certain partnerships, maybe the Conservatives or the Lib Dems, to maybe take the lead on this one.
Yeah, so I think off the bat, I think environment, food and rural affairs, I think environment, that department, DEFRA, is quite misleading. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners would probably think that that department is mainly focused on the environment itself and like net zero and the climate crisis, which it partly is, but that's more energy and net zero as far as energy production is concerned. But the food and rural affairs, I think that's not the main story, obviously, the climate crisis. I feel like one of those vegan protesters.
Indeed,
but
yeah.
I think the food and rural affairs in particular, the farmers' inheritance tax, I think that's awful.
So we're basically pretty much ruling
out Labour. I feel quite personally about this. I feel quite personally about this issue because obviously my dad, he's Northern Irish and we have a farm in Northern Ireland. And so I am directly implicated for this. So that's quite annoying. So I think actually putting the climate stuff to the side, I think Victoria Atkins of the Conservative Party has been I'm actually very impressed with the advocating that she has done and the wider party. I think when you looked at the budget last year and the main things that the Tories are very critical of Labour, farmers' inheritance tax, rise in VAT, and the general kind of huge welfare spending. And I think the fact that they're paying a lot of attention to this department, which doesn't really get a lot of attention, I really admire that. I really like that. So I definitely trust the Conservatives with this department, quite contrary to what many would think with the Greens.
With the Greens, yeah. Maybe moving away the ideology, obviously.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say they've lost their vision for net zero and energy.
There with what they're looking.
They're definitely but I think they're just moving their glance to other departments.
But don't you feel like that could lose them?
No, I don't think that won't lose them voters. No, they won't. It won't. I don't think people vote exclusively on the climate policy. I think the main issue people look at is the economy. I think I actually am very much in support of net zero. Maybe not net zero being a zero, but certainly lower carbon emissions. I'm definitely pro-climate. I'm not one of these climate deniers or whatever that they are. I trust energy in net zero. Quite surprising, but
you
I'm going to go...
We could actually reach...
I'm going to go with, I think... Well, I don't know. Maybe... I think Labour's got quite a strong argument in their favour. Ed Miliband's in that department. I think I like that ideologically, I think they probably best represent my stance. Only thing I would say is that energy bills are still going up under them. They're going up quite quickly, and they're not, well, more importantly, they're not going down from the record highs that they were at. So I think that's my only argument against Labour. I wouldn't say that I'm as radical as supporting the Greens. I think that's probably the best chance that I would endorse the Greens at like an on department level. Lib Dems, I kind of get the mantra from them. I quite like it. So I'd say it's probably a toss up between the Lib Dems and Labour, but definitely not Reform or the Tories. I think the Tories are a bit too hostile towards it, and maybe, I prefer, that's my only real, not problem, but yeah, kind of ick with the Tory party as far as like policy is concerned.
And in terms of energy and net zero, I'm just gonna
Of course.
I feel like Ed Davey would be a good...
I feel like you're putting Ed Davey in a lot of departments here, Matt.
No, but he's... Okay, he's an engineer by background. Okay, so he's got experience. Okay.
So wait, let's go back. You're putting...
No, Ed Davey in the energy and net zero.
You're putting Ed Davey back in energy and net zero, because he was that secretary in the Cameron government, in the coalition government.
I'm going to put him back
in. You're going to put him back?
I'm going to put him back in.
He criticises himself, though.
He's pro-nuclear.
I grilled Daniel about this last week.
Okay, he's pro-nuclear. He's pro-renewable.
Yeah.
And he's against his rubbish anti-fantasy economics. He's going to get the job done. He's
That's why I like the Lib Dems. I wouldn't say maybe Ed Davey in particular. I think he's criticised himself. He criticised the energy policy of the coalition government when he was the energy secretary.
Why don't you explain for someone like me who didn't really was into politics at the time of the coalition government?
Well, I wasn't really into politics when I was three.
Okay, well, all right. Just explain to me then. What was the main things that he was working on then at the time?
To be honest, I don't know. And that's quite telling.
Okay, that might be telling, maybe, but... Obviously, if the Lib Dems ended up, obviously he'd only ever be Prime Minister, wouldn't he?
He'd never be Prime Minister. Maybe Deputy Prime Minister. Maybe if you put in Nick Clegg.
Maybe, yeah. And in terms of the environment, food, and rural affairs, okay, I'm gonna chuck a name out here.
Oh God.
Therese Coffey.
Oh, her.
Now you know what?
Liz Truss is Deputy Prime Minister.
I feel like she's getting a bit too much hate just because of the Liz Truss thing. She was not involved in the mini budget. That wasn't her thing to consult on.
Well, Therese Coffey, I think she's lost her seat.
She might have lost her seat, but if she won it back, I'd have her in. She wants to protect farmers and the environment. And if you think about it, we care about the environment. We want competence over just ideological facts and statements. Okay. We want someone to get the job done.
Someone to do the job correctly.
But she might not be the most fluent speaker or the most passionate about that area of the department. She'll be able to secure what's in the best interest for the country, surely.
You're really kind of copy and pasting people from departments. You had Ed Davey and Energy.
You can't.
Therese Coffey, she was Secretary of State for Environment.
Copy and pasting.
In the Sunak government, it must have been. Or was it Liz Truss, maybe?
It was the Sunak government. It was like, you can't, it's not, it was not the Liz Truss government.
Oh, fine. Well, she's just deputy in the Liz Truss government. Okay, well, that's interesting.
It's not a bad idea.
That's interesting. I can't say I agree wholeheartedly with you on that, as I did maybe with health. Because you did convince me quite on health. So what's our next department? Are we going to do science, or are we just going to go straight to housing?
Now we're going to be talking about housing and local communities.
Local communities and local government, I think.
Local government.
That's the full title.
Yeah, yeah. And if we look at who's currently has that position now, obviously Steve Reed.
Yeah, build, baby, build. That's what he's saying at Labour conference, and he's not built.
He's talking about building so many houses, but he hasn't really delivered, don't you think?
Well, he hasn't delivered. We can get rid of the really if you don't have to beat around the bush. He hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
Old Ange, she's coming back to be Labour leader, probably.
She might.
She didn't do anything, though, so that's quite a shame. They said in their manifesto, last year. They build 1.5 million houses every year. They're 18 months into their government, so that should be about two and maybe a quarter million.
No,
and they've built, I don't think they've even built 500,000, which is quite disappointing.
I'm just going to pause then and just ask, don't you think that with manifestos, especially elections, the chances of the government actually delivering
it. Housing's quite a difficult. Notoriously, it's a department that
takes a
governments
time to
fail
get going.
When yeah. that governments fail when in comparison to their manifestos. I mean, the Tories failed. I mean, it used to be their levelling up. That was their big thing in 2019, and their not excuse, but their reason for not maybe pushing through as much on that front is due to, well, obviously COVID, and that money got shifted from. Particularly the northeast, those red wall then turned blue in 2019. Those voters, they didn't really get the care or the funding that they needed. But that went more to the NHS, obviously, because of the COVID crisis.
Yeah. And for me personally, I feel like, don't you think that James Cleverly, who's obviously shadowing Steve Reid, be a much better fit for the Secretary of State for housing communities and local government.
Yeah, I think housing, local communities, or communities and local government. I really like James Cleverly. He's one of those people that I think are very sensible. He's not like so centrist, almost centre left of the Tory party, like he's some Tom Tugendhat, Mel Stride type person. He's very much unifying. I do like him. A lot of people are going to say, oh, we didn't do anything in the Home Office. Well, he didn't let as many people in as Suella Braverman. Quite surprising, actually. It's one of those, like, Trump-Barack Obama stats where Barack Obama actually deported more people than Trump did.
Yeah.
But given the rhetoric of Suella Braverman, quite surprising she didn't... even though she was Home Secretary for well over a year, she didn't really stop the crisis in the way that James Cleverly was starting to at the time of the election.
I feel like James Cleverly's obviously got experience having a high cabinet.
Mm. Well, he's done foreign office, he's done home office. He was the chairman of the Conservative Party in 2019.
He's moved around quite a lot.
Yeah, I think he's well experienced. He's one of those Jeremy Hunt type people.
Yeah, and I feel like he's going to be able to confront this issue of increased housing prices, just trying to build more houses. People are... As Steve Reid mentioned on Laura Queensberg about 2 weeks ago, young people are obviously struggling quite a lot to afford their first house. And that, being able to afford your first house is like one of those things that people never really forget. And not being able to do that.
I don't know what experience you're talking from, Max.
Doesn't really... Well, no, I've been... I mean, my... Not from my experience personally.
Yeah, okay, I get the gist.
I hear about people obviously doing... amazing degrees at different universities and never actually being able to afford their first house just because of how expensive those houses really are. And I feel like someone like Michael Gove, perhaps, who in the past who's actually confronted the planning reforms and...
He was very successful in the education department. Yeah.
And the idea that he's willing to annoy his own party just to build houses just shows that level of commitment.
Yeah,
and
well,
I feel like that's the sort of thing that departments really need if you're really going to get the best out of that.
If you asked someone in 2010 if they thought that the Tories were going to do well in education, I don't think many people would have said that they would have done well. They had done very well, actually, when it got to 2015. Maybe that's a reason they got re-elected to government with a very slim majority, albeit. But a majority, not a coalition. But I think Michael Gove, surprisingly competent in those departments that maybe the Tories aren't notoriously successful in.
So I feel like we do a good job. We are now moving on to the big dogs, as we like to put it. And we're going to move on to justice. So in terms of what the Justice Department does, it's obviously looking at regulations in court, prison, sentencing, legal aid.
Yeah.
Constitutional integrity.
Not police, though. Not police. That's Home Office.
And if we look at the Labour Party and how they're doing, I personally am going to voice my hate for the way David Lammy is operating in the Justice Department. I think letting migrant sex offenders run around on the street with zero knowledge about how many there are or where there are is not very reassuring for the country.
Well, Calamity Lammy Dodger, whatever his name is. I think I'm going to amend my fun fact from a few minutes ago, or 20 minutes ago. I think David Lammy's my new least favourite cabinet secretary, so Bridget Phillipson can now rest
Bridget
easy
Phillipson
tonight.
Can rest, yeah.
Yeah, David Lammy, he's just so incompetent. He completely messed up in the Foreign Office. Actually, to be honest, foreign policy was something that Keir Starmer was actually praised quite a lot for, his handling with Trump. But I think there's Diego Garcia, those are one of those, of the Chagos Islands. This is a deal struck between Mauritius, which is like 3,000 miles away, 3,000 kilometers away, it's one of the two, I can't remember. Point is, very far away. Somehow they have a claim over it, even though that the British bought it from them in the Lancaster House Agreement. So it's actually ours, even though we bought it, but the international courts are saying we didn't buy it, which is a little bit stupid. So, yeah. But David Lammy, as a person, I think... I don't really want to talk about him. He's shocking. He's terrible. Every department he goes into, pretty awful. Very awful. Shabada Mahmood, she was the former Justice Secretary for Labour. She actually...
probably did quite...
she did a very good job. Yeah. Lammy is... I think he's on a very downward spiral. I think his performance at PMQs 1 week.
That was awful.
It was James Cartledge. That's the Shadow Defence Secretary, the Conservative Defence Secretary. Obviously not now. Rising star in the party. But... he repeatedly asked this question 6 times. He used all 6 questions he was given to ask how many prisoners had escaped, obviously you spoke about earlier, Max. He had no idea. He actually said that everything was okay, and about 2 hours later,
he didn't announce
that. All these reports came in from the police that everyone's gone missing and everything, and that was extremely embarrassing on his part. So, Justice Department, I think we can completely rule Labour out. Do you agree?
It shows how weak the Justice Department really is at the moment.
I don't think we should look at it as the civil servants. I'm sure they're doing a great job. They're dealing with Lammy, so I send them my sympathies. But moving on to other parties, Lib Dems, I don't think we need to talk about. They're quite irrelevant.
The Lib Dems, they're more for just the...
They're more the spending kind of area, not the enforcing or the money area. Home Office, not Home Office, sorry, other parties. Reform, Justice, that's quite a big issue for them. Leila Cunningham, who's their mayoral candidate, she actually, fun fact, she sits on my council, on Westminster City Council. She's one of 2 Reform MPs.
Are you voting for her?
She's not in my ward, so... She's not in the ward. She's not in my ward. I think she's Lancaster Gate. I won't say where I am. People don't knock on my door.
Okay.
I know what ward I'm in, though. I think Reform, I sort of trust with Justice. Tories, I think just need to build more prisons. I think whoever can do that more, I think we need more strict sentencing.
I would not mind seeing James Cleverly moving into the Justice. That's not... bad, like they
you
are.
Want. I think feel like if I was gonna get you a present, probably be a People photocopier. You want to get multiple Ed Davies, multiple James Cleverleys everywhere.
Let's
have a government full of Ed Davies and just James Cleverleys, and everything will be fine.
Only one department, and it's not exactly the
okay. So fine. Gun to your head. Would you rather have what's his name? James Cleverly in the Justice Department, or you said he would be good somewhere else. Was it housing you said he'd be good at earlier? I think it was housing.
I think so.
Yeah, so which one, housing or justice?
I'd have him in justice.
Okay, that's,
have
yeah.
Someone else
yeah.
in housing.
Yeah, I'd build, I support that.
I just feel like justice, I feel like it's a bit more important, maybe.
I'd say so. I think safety, that's important.
Safety.
I think I trust him more as far as... I think trust is much more linked with safety. So, yeah, I'd probably agree with you on that regard. But it's quite a tough choice. So, justice, just conclusively, who do I think? I'd probably say... Robert Jenrick. Oh. We haven't spoken about Robert Jenrick yet. He was the former Conservative Shadow Justice Secretary.
Yes.
He resigned. Well, he didn't resign. He was kicked out.
He was kicked out.
I don't want to go over how like graceful his defection was. I think Kemi did a great job defecting. So shout out to Kemi. Well done for kicking him out. I spoke the night. I think it was November 2nd, 2024, which. Special day because that was the day that Kemi was elected leader.
And obviously she went against
Robert. Yeah, I spoke with someone, I can't remember who it was, but they said that Robert Jenrick was a bit of a slime ball. After his defection and the way that something that was brought up by Kemi, I think maybe it was on Laura Kunzberg, but she said how Robert Jenrick was now calling her Kemi Badenoch and not Kemi Badenoch, which was he never did that. So I think those are just quite petty politics. I don't really like that. I don't really like
wishy-washy.
Not wishy-washy, but I think that's really disrespectful. Like I wouldn't like it if I was called Rory Mont. I don't know, something weird.
They mispronounce your name.
Yeah, if someone mispronounced my name, I would. I mean, it's quite hard to mispronounce, but I'd be annoyed. So I think I support her on that. well, maybe you just call him Robert Generic at this point. I mean, he was centrist. Now he's reform. So that's quite a
shift.
Quite a political journey, we must say. But no, I don't like reform. I think their ways are just so kind of destructive. And they talk about trust. I think that's the complete opposite of trust. People just stabbing their old party in the back to join their new trusty party or whatever it is. So I think I'm going to go with the Conservatives and Nick Timothy.
So we're now going to be looking at three departments in one, and that's going to be Defence, the Home Office, and the Foreign Office. So we're going to start off with Defence first. So what does
Defence Act? There's defence spending, the army, that sort of thing.
National security.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Well, the National Security Advisors, apart from the defence, so but that's against.
So how do you feel that the Labour MP John Healey is doing in terms of defence?
I mean, actually, I'll give a little bit of rare praise for Labour. I think. I like their pledge to 3%. I mean, obviously, Donald Trump twisted their hand into doing that. And that was obviously the period when they were very much cozying up to Trump. Obviously, we had a little chat about James Cartledge earlier when we were talking about, justice. So James Cartledge, Tory, I like him. I probably put him as my defense person. He's in the cabinet right now, although I would like to give a special shout out to another Tory. Tom Tugendhat, we've already mentioned him. He was in the army. I think he speaks that's his main kind of policy area, personally, for him, is defence. So I'd put him as my defence secretary.
So I'll probably put, he's obviously not actually in the Conservative shadow cabinet.
He's not in the, is he?
Ben Wallace, but yeah. I think, so he's calm.
Yeah.
So he's collected under pressure. That's something you want, especially when you're.
He was defense secretary, I think. Was it Ukraine?
Yeah, he was defense. He's aligned with NATO.
Yep.
He's respected by allies. And he focuses on readiness and realism. That's a sort of sensible, conservative approach that we sort of want to see, especially in terms of defense.
I think,
defense is really important, especially when you're looking at these growing superpowers, maybe such as the USA or China. And it's really important to have these growing relationships with them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think defence is one of those things that you probably want someone maybe a little bit more right-wing. And John Healey, he's very much on the right of the Labour Party. So he's not far right, but he's not as extreme as maybe Shabana Mahmood, who's in the Home Office, who we'll talk about in a minute. I think it's not one of those departments that Labour's going to be terrified when people talk about.
So now if we look at the Home Office and the Foreign Office, I'm just going to put my name out there. Okay, so I don't feel as... So actually, I go against that. I think Shabana Mood's doing a very good job.
Yep, I agree.
Looking at, obviously, immigration. But in terms of... And maybe an alternative, Chris Philp. From the Conservative Party, I mean, he was Minister of State for Crime, Policing and Fire from October 2022 to July 2024.
And
I think he did serve in Liz Truss's very short tenure
as
Prime Minister, but I just feel like he's the very, very calm. He's the sort of person.
Yeah, I quite like him. Yeah, I'd say Home Office. Home Office. I'm going to say Home Office is a toss-up between the Conservatives, and we haven't mentioned them yet, but Reform UK. I'm not as. There are some policies reform, the more domestic Home Office policies, like crime, more specifically, which is not justice. But their tackling of crime and police, I think Reform are much more credible on. I think the illegal boats, I think Reform are more credible on. But I think general migration, I think the Tories have a much more sensible, thought-through view where if people are going to bring a positive economic impact to the country, I think we should definitely let them in because that means we're going to get richer and our population is going to grow. And that's just going to be much better. But I think I'm actually going to... I think Reform, there are some policies of theirs that I do like. There are some policies that I do hate. But I'm going to say it's a toss-up between the Tories and Reform on this one.
Yeah. And in terms of the Foreign Office, I mean, we're quite short for time, so I might have to rush you here.
But yeah.
For the Foreign Office, I say Tom Tugendhat. I personally think that he would have a very good relationship with foreign leaders, despite the fact that he was on China's not allowed list to get into the country. And Keir Starmer went to China to agree a deal to get him off that list, despite the fact that they're on opposite, different parties.
Yeah, well, I guess it's just one of those things that
doesn't really make any
sense. I guess they're colleagues, I guess. It's just, I think it's not much more personal or political. I think it's just a bit more of a friendly gesture.
I feel like you need...
He needs all the help he can get right now.
Who, the...
The Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister. And... Obviously, Yvette Cooper in the Foreign Office. What do you think about her? Do you think she's doing? I mean, she wasn't.
She's doing an okay job. I think what I'd classify as being a great job, would be
stronger connection, surely, with allies.
Well, yeah, that, but completely destroying and throwing Diego Garcia in the bin and then blowing up the bin. I think that's an awful deal. You have an island, a military base, which the US are giving you money for, and then you're gonna give that island away. Because international judges have said that you're not allowed to have it even though you bought it, and you're going to pay for that, which is really, really silly considering where you could put that money. So I think that's very stupid. So Yvette, if you're listening, get rid of the Diego Garcia bill, the Chagos surrender bill. But yeah, I mean, last week I did say that I have praise for Priti Patel. I do like Priti Patel. She is the shadow foreign secretary. I don't think she'd be good in the Foreign Office though. I think she's a bit too hawkish.
Yeah.
I'd say she's probably a little bit more in the Justice Department or maybe the Home Office. She doesn't have a good record in the Home Office, but I think today I think she might have a good. I think with the motivation her party's got behind her, I think I'd support her in that. But Foreign Secretary. I don't know, maybe some statement like...
A good spokesperson.
Yeah, I might say Jeremy Hunt for that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously got...
Good speaker. He was the foreign secretary under Theresa May. So...
And obviously, it was probably in Theresa May's government, that was even more important, being foreign secretary, especially because of the Brexit deal.
Yeah.
So we're now moving on to one of the...
The biggest. I'm going to say the biggest.
The biggest, according to Rory.
We saved it for last.
And that is the Treasury.
Oh.
What do you think I was going to say?
Well, it is the Treasury.
Well, it is the Treasury, yeah.
For
those of you who don't know
what Rachel
does, obviously it decides how the budget's going to work, looking at economic credibility, taxes, spending, and we're just going to put it out there. Well, I'm just going to put it out there. I don't feel like Rachel Reeves has the economic credibility anymore.
I'm going to put this out there. I think Rachel Reeves is a moron. I do not like Rachel Reeves. Yeah, I think a centrist Tory, I think, is someone you probably need. Someone more sensible. The last time we had a really right-wing Tory, Liz Truss, with a very much more libertarian... I think her general policy was good. I think it would have worked very well. I think she just pushed it in too quickly. The market couldn't react. It was just too quick. She didn't look at it, but it was just too quick. I think if she slowed things down over maybe not one budget, maybe two budgets, or maybe even three budgets, I think, or 3 years, because that would have been six budgets, because the Tories have a spring budget as well. I think she'd still be Prime Minister, and she'd be a very popular Prime Minister. So that's a shame for Liz. She's obviously got a new YouTube channel as well, which I'm not listening to, but she's on GB News quite a lot and the Daily Tea on the Telegraph. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so the Treasury Chancellor. I'm going to say Mel Stride as well.
Maybe.
I'm more of a statement. Someone sensible, not old. He was the Work and Pension Secretary, so he does have experience in an economic setting. I think Rachel Reeves, she's an idiot. I think she should get out as soon as possible. I think people will be celebrating when Starmer goes. Not that, I think more people will be celebrating that Rachel Reeves will leave than Keir Starmer. So, and he's going to go imminently, let's hope. So, I think I have to plan a party for that. I back the Tories with the Treasury. I think reform, I'm actually very scared about
what they would do.
They've got Nadeem Zahawi, who was the Chancellor for 2 days before he resigned. So well done, Nadeem, for the work experience. There's rumours that Robert Generic, who defected,
could become the next
the slime ball who defected. He's probably going to be the reform Chancellor. I've had rumours about that on the Daily Telegraph. Another subsection to the Treasury, the Work and Pensions Department. Tories, undoubtedly, I'm going to support on this.
Yeah,
Helen Whateley, Tory, not spokesperson, Shadow Cabinet Minister. This is another key priority for them. I have total backing in the Tories. This is one of the most confident departments I have, the Tories, and I'm actually quite excited about it.
And now it is time, listeners, the moment you've been waiting for. 50 minutes of us going over the other departments you probably didn't care about. And now it's time to talk about the Prime Minister.
The big dog himself.
Rory, I'm just going to say it.
I want to say it first. We're saying the same people. Kemi Badenoch. I'm supporting Kemi Badenoch to be Prime Minister. I like the way she speaks. She puts it out there. She's good at defending herself. She makes very good articulate arguments that are very easy to follow. She's very, a lot of people wouldn't have said this time last year, so charismatic. The press conferences she's doing, she's nearly Nigel Farage level, which I don't think a lot of people would have thought. I have a lot of faith in Kemi Badenoch. I really trust her. I hope she becomes Prime Minister.
Okay, so if we look at the other leaders, just rolling them up really.
Yeah.
Keir Starmer, idiot. No support anymore.
Moron, get him out. Oh, idiot, I don't even radical, talk about him. Too radical. Oh, he's just dangerous.
No experience at all. Ed Davey, I know I said he'd be good in energy, but
he's not Prime Minister. Oh my God. You think Keir Starmer doesn't have a backbone? Think about Ed Davey.
Yeah, he's a bit wishy.
You think Keir Starmer's boring? Think about Ed Davey. Yeah.
And do you think it can be like experience?
Yeah.
In Boris Johnson's government. Polls are going up for the Conservatives right now. Really performing in PMQ.
She's getting so much more popular. I think, yeah. So this is not going to be the Kemi podcast.
This is not the Kemi podcast, but...
But we support Kemi Badenoch.
Your own decisions, but this is just what
the Tory party is not dead. I've heard all about this, and the thing is quite depressing. But I think Kemi, I think she would be my most favourite person to be Prime Minister. Although two other notable mentions. When I first decided, so it wasn't explicit enough, I'd probably be a self-described conservative if I was going to vote for anyone. I think my three people who I had was most not excited by, but I felt quite not connected, but I agreed with a lot. The three people that I actually really like within the Tory party, three people I would have supported for leader. One of them is leader now. That's a little hint. First one, Kemi Badenoch, obviously. So I like her. Then Priti Patel. We all know about this because I said this last week. I do like Priti Patel.
Yeah.
And then the last one, which I was actually quite sad. I can't remember what Sunday it was. But quite another controversial one. But Suella Braverman. I used to really like Suella Braverman. And I was actually very disappointed when Rishi Sunak kicked her out. Or
maybe a conversation for next.
That's a conversation for next time.
That was the right decision. Yeah. Maybe to get rid of her.
Yeah. Okay.
So that is a wrap. Thank you, everyone who's tuned in to listen. And, well, we'll be taking a break for a week.
1 week.
1 week, and we'll hopefully see you after the break as you listen to what is shaping global politics as we know.
Well, maybe Keir Starmer won't be here.
Maybe he might not be here.
This might be the last podcast with Labour Prime Minister.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.